today on Real Radio.
You and I, because we live in this fallen world, we are able, through this Bible, church, to see things differently than anybody else. And I want you to hear this. The more you and I know this book, the more we'll know the times in which we live in. You say, Jack, are you crazy? How can you read an ancient book and know about the future? Because this book is alive.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 2 of God to the Rescue from Isaiah chapter 10, we learned that the Lord warns the people of Judah and Israel about how good people will suffer under bad leadership. But God always keeps His word. His hand is still outstretched to those who cry out to Him in their brokenness. Nations have made it their mission to destroy Israel, but it's God's mission to rescue His people. Now in chapter 11, we'll see how God is at work and has a plan for the nation of Israel and for us as Christians. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that we're to always be thinking biblically while still living in a secular world. This means we are to be a Christian in all that we do. God is not only the God of history and the God of the Bible, He's the God of the future, always working towards our restoration. And now in his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, bring us rain. Bring us lots of rain. Bring us rain all summer. Bring us rain all fall and winter and for the next 10 years. Lord, please, as undeserving as we are, will you relieve us of this drought? But Lord, even if you don't, we love you anyway. You never change. You're so good. It doesn't matter if another drop never falls. You're still God Almighty. And we're going to heaven anyway. Perfect there. So Lord, we just pray right now that you'd visit us in your word. We love your word, Jesus. So touch us now, we pray, in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Tonight, Isaiah chapter 11. And we will begin to get into 11. It's an awesome chapter. In fact, the first 9 verses are off the charts. You're going to love this. I say you're going to love this. We're going to get to verse 1 tonight, chapter 11, verse 1. We'll get to verse 1 tonight. We'll see how far we get. But you are going to be excited, I think, in the weeks to come because there's a very, very wonderful New Testament answer for a question that comes up in Isaiah chapter 11. And we're going to be looking into it. Now, if you're there, go ahead and park your finger there in the Bible, right there, Isaiah chapter 11. And from this point, we're going to be launching out into other areas tonight. But it's very, very important for you to understand, as we've been sharing, that the book of Isaiah, Isaiah's ministry will deal with the nation's sins and the coming judgment and discipline of God. And then it's almost as though Isaiah is transported, meaning what has already been such a cycle of this book. In the 10th chapter, you saw and heard Isaiah speaking about the judgment coming from the Assyrian Empire against God's people. Yes, God engineers pagan, godless nations to punish his nations or his people who call him by name but refuse him by action. When they're in disobedience, the Bible says God sends the enemy of his nation, Israel, to come and judge them. It's as though God uses, and he does use them, as a rod of punishment. And so the Assyrian Empire, you remember last time, was in fact that tool to come. But we saw also the prophetic warning. Isaiah says, but the king of Assyria will go too far in his destruction of Israel. And he'll cross the line, and God will then deal with him as a disciplinary tool, God uses him. Even though God uses the tool was wicked in the heart. So the sovereignty of God is intact, and yet the rebellion or the will of man is responsible for their actions. And so we looked last time at a message entitled God to the Rescue, and we need to look at the last two verses to set up where we're going. Actually, look at chapter 10, verse 20 for a second. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day, chapter 10, that the remnant of Israel, you ought to circle that, and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them. They will never be subject to captivity again, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And man, I'm looking at that name in the Bible today with more appreciation than ever. Circle it in your Bibles. 3,000-year-old book open on your lap. And God says, I'm the Holy One of Israel. In truth, the remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. This is, verse 21 is an announcement in chapter 10 that there's going to be a day coming when God's people will come back to him in faith. Just, though it's a small number, a remnant, they're going to come back someday. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts, the God of armies, the Lord God of hosts is the Lord God of armies, heaven's armies, will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Look at chapter 10, verse 33. Behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop off the bow with terror. Those of high stature will be hewn down. He's talking about the Assyrian leader and the Assyrian nation. And the haughty will be humbled. God hates pride, people. He hates it. Will not tolerate it. Verse 34. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. Now, this is amazing. God is saying, as we ended that chapter, in Israel's rebellion, there's a remnant of people that I'll bring back and I'll preserve. I wonder if God is saying that to America today. The nation's going to be disciplined. It's going to be judged for its godlessness. But in the midst of it all, don't lose heart. There'll be a remnant of people that I'll preserve. You know, God could say that to us if he wanted to. Maybe he is saying it. I don't know. But this is a wonderful promise, because now we go from verse 34 to this little glimmer of hope to this explosion that the prophet in chapter 11 announces, that there's a time where the Messiah will come, and that long haul, that far away prophecy will be fulfilled. And he says this, look at verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And we need to stop right there, because this is vitally important. In your notes, in the margins of your Bible, write down verse 1, the promise of the coming Messiah. The promise of the coming of Jesus Christ. You can write that down right there in your Bible. God says, I'm going to bring back a remnant. You know, you should know, right, that there are several symbols of the nation of Israel in the Bible. There are several symbols of the nation of Israel recognized in the world. One of them, by the way, you don't have to go very far, is in the foyer. There is a 7 lampstand menorah in the foyer here at the church. Where does that come from? Well, being Christians, we would immediately say, from the book of Revelation. And that's good. You're right. But that's not its origin. The origin of the 7 lampstands is mentioned with Moses in the making of the worship implements. And God said, make this 7 lampstand. So it appears in the Old Testament, and it's answered in the New. It's a place of fellowship. And if you go to Israel today, it's the symbol of the nation of Israel at the Knesset, at its seat of government, the menorah. In fact, that's an exact replica made by the actual man who engineered the one at the Knesset. Very unique. But what else comes to your mind? How about grapevine, perhaps, right? Grapevine, perhaps. Most famous, though, is what? Yeah, that's right. Fig tree. A fig tree. Now, we live in Southern California. Do you guys have this problem? At my house, I have to pull up little fig trees that are growing. Have you noticed that? They blow in the wind, the seed lands, and you have a fig tree. If you don't know what you're looking for, then you don't know what you're looking for. But if you know what a fig tree looks like, it starts out with a couple of leaves like the size of your thumbnail. And I got to pull them up, because if you don't pull them up, they'll take over. And we had a fig tree in our backyard years ago, and I cut it down. I cut it down, and here's what I did. I cut it down right. I didn't tear it out. I just cut it down. I cut it down at the ground, and guess what happens about every 2 months? It comes back. So you know what I did? I poisoned it. I cut it down, cut it, lopped it off, and poisoned it. Guess what happened? Came back. Got a drill, drilled down into it. Put gasoline on it. Guess what happened? It's growing right now. Still growing. And God says, my nation is like a fig tree. Jesus said, keep your eye on the fig tree in the last days. It never, never goes away. It looks like it's gone, it comes back. Israel's like that. Israel's like that. It gets lopped off, it keeps coming back. Oh, it drives the Arab world crazy. You cut it off, comes back. You attack it, comes back. You drive the people out to the ends of the world, they come back. As we look at this, it's a promise that God says. Why does Israel keep coming back? How is it they keep surviving? Because God has a plan. And in Isaiah chapter 11, God is announcing this is one of the great reasons why he's going to make sure his plan is executed. Because the Messiah must come back to the nation of Israel. Listen, Ayatollah Khomeini, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, help me out here, Turkey, you name it, they're going to fail. They're just wasting bullets. They're wasting money. Seriously. The Bible says that no nation is going to abolish the nation of Israel. And especially Amos chapter 9 says, once Israel becomes a nation for the last and final time, its second time as a nation, this is significant. Once it's a nation a second time, it will never be again rooted up out of its land. There'll always be a remnant ever since May 14th, 1948. Listen, I know in the news, and you'll see some news here in a moment, that the threat of Iran nuking Israel is a very real thing. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. They may attempt it, but it's not going to work. There'll always be a remnant left. And God says, now that they're back, they're never going anywhere. And I don't know how that sits with you, but I hope that you just choose to be on God's side. I was in an event yesterday, and there was a song sang about God being on our side, and I have an issue with that song. By the way, it's a very famous song. You probably love it. You probably have it on your iTunes or something, but it's a great Christian song, but it's about, you know, God's on our side. No, he's not. You better read your Bible carefully. God's on no one's side. God's on no one's side. Listen, he says, you better be on my side. There's only one unique variation to that fact. It's Israel. God says, I'm on their side. Has he been on their side even when they were not on his side? Yep. Even when they got disciplined, even when they were cut down at the ground, God said of them, they'll keep growing back. Why? Because he says, I have a plan. You see, listen, God is not on Israel's side because they're sweet. God is on Israel's side because God first had a plan. And that's significant. Write this down in your notes, if you would, how sure we can be about this, because you might, that's ridiculous. Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That's Paul talking about the Old Testament. Whatever things were written beforehand, they were written for us to learn from. How come? Why? That we, through the patience and comfort of the what? Scriptures, might have hope. When you read the Bible, Christian, this should build hope. That's what Paul said to the church at Rome. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, the Bible says, This regarding the sons of Issachar, one of the tribes of Israel. Listen to this. I want to be like this, by the way. I believe that I'm supposed to be like this. I believe as a Christian, I'm supposed to live like this. And especially as a pastor, I believe it's mandated upon me to be like this. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, knew what Israel ought to do. Isn't that an awesome statement? That verse is announcing the sons of Issachar, they had a pulse on their culture. They knew what was going on, and by knowing what was happening, they knew how to lead their tribe in Israel. That's a good word, ladies and gentlemen. We have a tendency to put our head in the sand, and we wind up getting run over that way. God wants us to be knowing and seeing everything in this world biblically, through the eyes of the Bible, through the lens of the Bible, which brings us to this. As a Christian, you and I are to be thinking biblically at all times while we're living in a secular world. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. And what that means is, as a Christian, is that you and I, because we live in this fallen world, we are able, through this Bible, church, to see things differently than anybody else. And I want you to hear this. The more you and I know this book, the more we'll know the times in which we live in. You say, Jack, are you crazy? How can you read an ancient, ancient book and know about the future? Because this book is alive. This book is not just a book. This book is the Word of God. And listen, it has been, can I say it this way? I mean this reverently. This whole show, as it were, has been rigged to this book. In other words, there ain't nothing going to happen without God knowing about it. Good, bad, or ugly, God knows. It's all written down. And as we read and study the Bible allows us to have supernatural viewing into the culture in which you and I live in. So this is an amazing thing. Listen, now there may be exceptions. I know that this is a very sharp group of people. I'm not saying that to be funny. It's true. We have rocket scientists in this place. We have people from incredible walks of backgrounds. We've got Harvard grads. We've got Stanford University grads here. We got doctors, and we've got bozos here with pink shirts on. Having said that, listen, it doesn't matter what kind of, alphabets or labels you have behind your name that makes you wise. Now, you may have done a lot of time in school, and you may be really bright, but that's knowledge, and I'm not knocking knowledge, but there's a lot of people today that put a lot of stress in knowledge, and they know not God. They know a lot of stuff, but they don't know the one who made all that stuff. And to know him is to have wisdom. Just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you have wisdom. You can be as smart as Einstein and walk through a plate glass door because you weren't looking around. You need to open up your eyes, be wise, and unlock the door before you try to walk through it. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's the execution of knowing what you know for good. And as Christians, you and I, in this world, God's prophetic word, like the book of Isaiah, is giving us a window in the world in which you and I live in. That's why it's amazing. We cannot pick up this book and not expect it to deal with our lives today. I was impressed two times today. It came to my mind two times today. After Lisa and I read our one-year Bible together today, two situations that I had no idea that I would be inserted into today, I was able to use that daily Bible reading for today's challenge. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And one pastor, because it was a conference meeting over some issue, and it's so funny because they called and asked for my advice. Really? Lisa, hey, listen, there are some people calling, asking for my advice. I'm kidding. I'm joking. And I was able to use this morning's daily Bible reading. And the funny thing was, oh, that's a good idea, the guy said. It wasn't my idea. Do you see what I'm saying? As a Christian, we know, listen, we see the world through the Bible, so we see what's happening in the world around us. How can we be so sure? Because God's word will never fail. And as we get into chapter 11, it's about the coming of the Messiah. Listen, he is coming. And the Bible lays out prerequisites to his coming. that we look in our culture and we begin to see that certain things are in alignment or setting up. So look with me in verse 1. The message is entitled, The Spirit of God at Work. And we're going to be looking at this for the next several weeks. The Spirit of God at Work. The Holy Spirit I'm speaking, of course. But we're looking at verse 1, and this is the restoration of our God. Our restoration God. It's what he does. There shall come forth. Mark that down. Underline it in your Bibles, church, right now. There shall come forth. That's a prophetic statement by God. God is saying, open your eyes, pay attention. This is my word. I'm speaking it. This is what's going to happen. So if you're a doubter, if you're a skeptic in the house, you ought to write that down. God's word says that he knows the future. God is saying, this is going to happen. So let's say you don't believe in God, but just write that down. Consider this. That he says, this shall come forth. This is going to happen. Absolutely guaranteed. It's a bold, clear, certain prophecy that this is going to happen. No doubt about it. And I love the boldness of the Bible. Do you? The boldness. This will be. How sure can we rest on God's word? God says this, and it's going to happen. Christians, listen carefully, please. The days and the age in which we live in, you better make sure, as I've been hounding and hounding on you, to make sure that you understand the doctrines of the Bible. Last Wednesday night, after service, someone said to me, Pastor, I take issue a little bit with what you're saying. You were saying that if America doesn't repent, that our nation could be judged. And I said, absolutely true. He goes, oh, that's not going to happen. I go, why is that? Well, because we're a Christian nation, he said. I said, listen, let's assume for a moment you're correct. According to the Bible, if we are a Christian nation, then it's guaranteed that we'll be judged by the Lord. Dr. Leonard Ravenhill said years ago, and I think Billy Graham echoed it, he said that if God does not judge America for its sin, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today, and you know, our hope is that the Spirit of God is at work in your life. This comes by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We're excited to let you know that Pastor Jack has recommended a book of the month for May. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook makes the wisdom and the message of the Bible accessible to everyone. Whether you read the Bible many times or maybe you've never checked it out before, you'll find insights into the religious culture along with maps and settings in which each story of the Bible unfolds. Haley's Bible Handbook is written for both mind and heart, and it's completely revised and updated. There are also easy-to-understand sections on how we got the Bible and the history of the church. So head on over to our website and purchase your copy of Haley's Bible Handbook for yourself, or maybe even for someone you know who needs a little extra help in studying the Bible. Again, you'll find Haley's Bible Handbook. That's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our desire here at Real Radio is to give you the support you need to carry on your journey of faith with Christ. And there are some great ways that you can support us as well. You can like Pastor Jack's page on Facebook and be sure to tell your friends about it. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and follow him on Instagram. So for more ways to support this ministry, check out Pastor Jack on social media. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.